You know who you are. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Northgate. If you don't know, my name is Parag. I'm one of the greeters here. And as you can see, we have something very special lined up for you today. A group of mighty, mighty men. That's right. That's no words, man. So we got some wonderful questions to ask these mighty men today. And they're just going to share how God has been working in their life. So we're going to have them introduce themselves. We're going to start off with Jim Todd on the far here.
So my name is Jim Todd. I married my high school sweetheart, Barkley. And then we had three daughters, Haley, Erin, and Casey. And they've given us eight grandkids and a lot of fun. So that's me.
My name is Edward Rubio. Liana, you guys probably know her more than I. She's a lot more talkative. We have three kids, Milana, Jackson, and Adeline.
Yeah. I'm going to use a mic. I'm Kevin Whitehouse. My wife is Shreya, and Philip is running around somewhere. You see him. He's got the red hair. And then we have a 1.5-year-old daughter, Rebecca. She's kind of meandering around here somewhere as well. But yeah, so I guess I'm one of the I don't say younger dads, but younger kids, dad of younger kids.
I'm Derek Ruby and wife Naomi here. Three beautiful daughters.
5 grand. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. All right, so let's do this right. Let's open up with some word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Now, ready for the questions? Here we go. And again, answer as freely, no order, however you like. Question one. How have you seen God demonstrate his love through you as a father?
I'll kick this one off. I was thinking about this question, and one of the things that really struck me is I experienced this when I first became a dad. And then I've just as recently had some conversations with other men in the men's ministry that I'm involved with who are newer dads. In that moment of, you don't truly understand the father's love until you become a father. And it's an abstract, I think, until that moment. And then you hold your first child in your hands, you look down, and there's this new love that you didn't realize was something that was possible. I think especially for guys, that you didn't realize that sort of thing exists. And I remember the very just like serious moments was just, number one, wow, this is incredible. I didn't know this feeling could happen. And then, oh wow, my parents think of me this way. And then mind explode. God loves us even more than that. And so he demonstrates his love through just the act of becoming a father and just having that sort of epiphany moment there. And I think it's something that everybody that's, you know, first time dads in particular can experience.
Wonderful. Love it.
I would add on to that as well and say you kind of get a sense of, I don't want to say God's frustration with people, but it's the same thing where you're like, I now understand God's love better. I now understand people a little better too, in that You know, your grace muscle has to grow. You have to develop that. And you kind of understand that aspect of God a little better as well.
I was thinking through how God gave me, immature me, children to like raise. And why did he entrust them to me? I got to experience what he experiences in looking at all of us and the highs and lows of our lives. But like from his perspective, I got to see three daughters be raised, take flight, have children of their own, and almost like a spectator, I get to see my daughter Haley, my daughter Erin, my daughter Casey, and then their the guys in their lives. I got to see that almost like God the Father looks at each of us, and he knows us intimately. But for some reason, he let me be a dad. And it's been fun. But I get to see from his perspective, my offspring follow after him. So.
Just to let everybody know, if you haven't realized it yet, this group of men, we have chosen this group of men because they have been great examples of a father's love, not only to their own children, but to young men throughout the church for many years. So what have been your biggest struggles as a father?
I guess I'll take a turn. Biggest struggle. So God showed me grace, and extending that grace to my children has been my biggest struggle. Not here or out in public, that kind of is easy. But you know, at home when no one's looking, is the biggest struggle. You know, usually I'm pretty calm and collected. I don't talk very much, but you know, I do find myself yelling more at my kids, and I have to pray about it often. So that's my biggest struggle right there. Showing them a little more grace. It's been tough.
Well, and I agree similarly. You know, I'm pretty easygoing in general and can take quite a bit for things to build up where I've been at the end of the rope, right? So that happened. It has happened and does continue. But of course, concerned about the example that I've been to my kids when I blow my top.
So two dads went before me and talked about anger, and so I feel in better company now. Because this is what I was going to mention. I like to blame the fact that I'm 85% Irish. That explains my temper. But it's my choice and how I keep it contained. I think one of my lowest moments was directed toward my daughter Haley, and I just had to establish that she listened to me, and I won the fight, but it wasn't a fight. I actually lost it, and in screaming at her, that was probably one of the memorable lows of my life. If I could just control my temper through the rest of my life, that would be good. This Northgate soccer complex, I remember screaming my full head off at a ref across the field, and that was my middle daughter's life. And there was a woman on this side saying, yeah, that's one of my pastors. So, yeah, my temper has been part of the lows and the shortfalls of my life, and trying to rein it in and keep it under control.
I'll jump in with a non-anger example. It could be hurtful, and that's being
For me, I like to say I'm pretty easygoing as well. I think a more accurate term is apathetic. And so I have to really work on being intentional. Like what I do with my kids, what I say, the time I spend with them, you know, how much time we spend on our phones, stuff like that. Making sure that I'm not just kind of backing away or checking out. Also, I was thinking about this question too. I have to be careful what kind of parenting choices I make, because even the best ones can backfire on you in ways you don't understand or can't foresee. One of the examples with Philip. He's a very direct, very inquisitive person, and will ask you questions. He wants to know everything that's going on, and I don't want to squash that out. I want to encourage that. I want that to be something he grows up and grows with and develops. But unfortunately, it backfires in that every like thing I tell him, he's always like, "Well, why do I need to do that? Why can't I have another bowl of cereal, you know? Or why can't I play video games and watch TV at the same time?" And you know, I have to remember. I'll tell him, you know, because I told you so. And he goes, "But Dad, you told me it's a good thing to ask questions." And I'm just like, "Oh, I did tell you that." So, trying to learn how to interact with a kid in a I'll say creative but nurturing way, at my own expense. That's been a struggle of mine.
Man, I am loving this. Man, the honesty. Thank you, guys. So what have been your greatest joys, successes as a father? Take your time.
I'm not that far along, but so mine are as simple as just like "I love you, Dad." Hearing that for the first time is very moving, and seeing them smile.
I would say it's watching.
I guess I would say the same. Nothing personally I do, but I guess creating an environment for them, and most of that means having a great mother and her parents who live with us, and they create a great environment for them. Even my youngest is like her best friend. And, you know, I don't think she believes in Jesus, and so that's just, so they're always, that's always on the mind. And so little things like that make me think, okay, I think I'm doing okay. I'm definitely better, but that's just, something's going on.
High is for me, and I'm on the older end of these guys, but to experience the graduations and the weddings, the births, Father's Days. Father's Day is a holy day in my life. I love it. It's not all about me, but sometimes what's written in cards, you'll get cards that say even more than I love you in the future, and then they're just poignant words, moments along the way where you just kind of say, I love being a father, and you never do outlast being a father, you're perpetually a father. But moments along the way are golden.
Man, you guys didn't think we were going to need some tissue, huh? Man. How has your father's story affected you?
I'll lead off. I know I had a dad who did his best, but I had a dad who did his best to love us and care for us, often saying, I love you and I'm proud of you. And I remember giving a guy a ride in my truck, and his bike's in the back of my truck, and he needed to get to a certain hotel in Ripon. And first thing he said to me, and he was homeless and on the street, did you have a good father figure? And I go, yeah, I did. And then he went on to say, I didn't. And that's why I am how I am. And I wanted to say, dude, you're the same age as me. You need to get over blaming the fact that you didn't have a good father figure and do a reboot and live differently. But I realized that I am part of who I am because I had a good father figure in my life. It was like a head start. It was a boost. And I just kind of think of what my dad did on my behalf so that I might follow in his steps in being a father figure to my daughters and then now my grandkids. But that's part of my story, is I was raised by a good father. But at the same time, I've chosen decisions because of my relationship with my Heavenly Father. So that guy could have too. That guy could too. So.
Well, I'll counterbalance you there.
Okay.
I grew up with a father who never said I love you and said, okay, I'm proud of you twice in my life. I'm 43.
Wow.
And I'm fine.
Okay.
Because I think that's a great point, and I hate that cop-out that people take. I had a bad dad, so I'm going to go ahead and be a fill in the blank. You can overcome that, because my dad wasn't a horrible person. Unemotional, sure. That's generational. But I was very, took that and said, I'm not going to do that with my kids. So I've been very intentional about telling them that I do love them. I am proud of what they do and encourage what they're interested in, because you can take a bad example like that, or not perfect example, and say, does that filter through the way God's love is? No. Okay, then do it right. And so that's my encouragement, is that if anybody has that sort of chip on their shoulder about their dad, brush it off and pick up your Bible and do it that way.
Amen.
I guess I'll go next. So my parents divorced when I was young. I was like 3 or 4. My dad, so my dad, he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he was, hardcore into his being a Jehovah's Witness. And my mother didn't appreciate that, and so she was like, all right, we're leaving. And so she quickly got married, and so I've been with my stepdad. We grew up, I was like 4 or 5, so a year or two. So I have two dads, but we really didn't have much interaction growing up. They weren't bad or anything, just we didn't have a lot of interaction. One, because of distance, and the other, I don't know, I guess being a stepdad. But kind of the lack of someone that can say something in your life, saying, go, you can do this, you can do this. And I guess I attribute a lot of my shyness or lack of confidence due to that. But like they're saying, it's probably not that, just how I am, since there's ton of us, and some of us are just different. But then kind of really not having that close relationship with my father has made me, just like you said, want to be closer with my children. So I try to hang out with him and do as much stuff as I can with him, as much as I can. And they hate it. they don't want to be outside. I was like, oh, let's go outside and throw the baseball. Right? I literally just went and bought a bunch of baseball stuff. And, you know, I threw the ball to Jackson, and he's like, all right, I'm done. And then he goes inside and he's like, what am I doing? So I wish I had this, but, you know, going back to the struggle question, they're going to be different than me, so being okay with that.
My dad was a child of depression, as so many were, you know, people my age, I guess. And started from nothing and became a successful businessman and worked hard, and he was generous. He wasn't perfect, okay? He was generous, treated people like that was treated, as you said. He was a good example. I didn't hear all the time, too. He didn't always say he loved me or was proud of me, but it showed him.
Can't be the only one not answering now. I've kind of come to realize that I have a lot of the same like demeanor and temperament as my dad, and so it's me trying to figure out what I think worked in my childhood, what he did that I appreciated, and trying to stay away from the things that I thought were his faults or weaknesses. But I had, my dad was, and my parents are still both married to each other, and he worked a lot, but was there. And, you know, he did the same thing. He said, I love you, I'm proud of you, stuff like that, and supported me. So, but at the same time, growing up, I'm like, okay, this I appreciate, this I think as a dad I want to work on, and that's it's more of rather trying to be the opposite or doing things differently. It's okay, how to find that balance, how to implement what I liked, or kind of throw out what I disliked or thought he could have worked on. So just trying to recognize that overlap.
Man, this just keeps getting better, man. Knowing that you are a son of God first, how has this affected you as a father?
It's that grace. Knowing that we were, and in some ways still are, in that exact same place as our kids. That we extend that grace where we can and pick our battles, I think.
I feel perpetually immature. One day I might grow up. And I think being able to realize, okay, I am a child of God and I'm making my mistakes, but I'm getting back up and going in the right direction. And knowing that I can allow my children to make mistakes. And then hopefully you've done the, the bowling alley, the bumper guard thing to kind of keep him from making fatal mistakes or really bad mistakes. Catching him in the small things, but then hoping that they kind of learn from that so it doesn't become big things. But extending grace and then marveling at, okay, like, All three of my daughters have skills that don't come from me. I can't do a stick man that looks like a good stick man. Artistically, I have zero talent. But to see some of their skills and gifts and realize that didn't come from me, but it's influenced through my wife and I, decisions that we've made. But realizing that I'm not really an adult to God the Father, I'm still a child that he's raising, and passing along that grace along the way is how I see that answer.
How have you seen God work in and through you in a way you didn't expect?
Just caused me to be inward looking all the time for that reason. That's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to evaluate your own actions and behaviors and how you can do better. So I don't like it, but it's making me do that. And I feel sometimes ashamed of the things that I do, so it's good that I do that. It's making me a better person.
I would say the most unexpected way that
I'd follow that. I didn't expect an impact to be made in young lives, to be looked at as a surrogate adult figure in their life. 20 years of student ministry, I didn't want to go into student ministry because it just sounded like perpetual pizza and parties and nothing purposeful. But then I found out I loved it. And then when you're not at a meeting with your wife and she signs you up to be the soccer coach, and then it starts 20 years of coaching soccer, and you realize over the course of time, you get to speak into lives. I didn't expect that they would listen to me. Father's Day is one of those days at church where former youth ministry students will come up and say, you're like a second father to me, and I didn't see that coming. But it's kind of fun to just kind of say, okay, God, you're doing a work in people's lives, and they're actually remembering stuff that you challenged me to share. So.
It's similar to me in a lot of ways, although I would go into, started out with really selfishly, we signed up our kids for soccer, and well, you know what, you should be the assistant coach, I should be the assistant coach. Or when they're in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, you know, those cases, you know, they were multiple kids. You know, I was affecting their lives, not even knowing it. I was there for my kids. But it was really beneficial, I think, beneficial for all of them.
Kevin.
I've already coached soccer or assistant coached soccer. So that's my.
I wish my wife would have signed me up to coach boys soccer, because 20 years of coaching guys and then checking in with the guys, hey, how's it going in your life? But you can't go back to women now and say, so how's it going in life? You just sound like a creeper, but being able to check in with former players or students, people who are now leaders, and like they're sought for it. Counseling at Hume. I was asked to counsel at Hume. There's no way I could counsel at Hume. But to find out that these guys are now speaking in our lives, it's wonderfully fruitful to see the investment of conversations about Christ reaping a harvest. So.
Love it. How have other father figures influenced you as a dad?
I think one of the tricky things is trying to think back at who those father figures are. Because I listed out like things as deep as podcasts, you know, that have like, I want to say, changed the trajectory of my fatherhood. But it's a lot of it is like youth leaders, right, or coaches. That it's that. That person that's pouring into you, who wants you to succeed and is rooting for you. And I think that, you know, kind of it, thinking back on that stuff, it gives you some, I want to say, some momentum or even other examples of how to be a parent, how to be a dad.
Bill Stricker over.
Gary can never get a hold of him because he's always with his kids. but, you know, in high school, college, he was always there just guiding me and, you know, helping me get through life. And he even led me to graduate school, and, you know, that's where I met Leanna. And so just being, you know, helpful to the people around you who are in need. So I try to do that as much as I can. Because of my brother and how he's helped me.
How do you direct your prayers as a father for your children? Perfect. It's perfect, Jim.
I think for me, it's kind of going back to that struggle question where I pray. So I strongly believe that it's more effective to be an example for your kids than to tell them what to do. But that means, sadly, that I have to be an example for my kids. And so a lot of time I'm praying that, you know, that God help me. As selfish as that sounds, it's, you know, I need to change myself into the person that I want them to become, so that they see that and that speaks louder to them than me just saying, read your Bible or pray every night. You know, I actually have to be reading my Bible and praying, and they need to see that. They need to see how much I love my wife in order to want that for themselves, to value themselves enough to look and be extremely picky in who they end up with. So that's how I direct my prayers.
Well, men, coming up on time, and I just want to say that was amazing. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being strong, for being the fathers that you are, and more importantly, being who you are. Thank you for that. And just want to say a big shout out to the service planning team for making this happen. A big shout out to Jesse for getting these perfect fathers together, man. And I don't know if you had to do any convincing, but you guys were amazing. Again, thank you to Jesse, and a big thank you to Jason for creating the whole platform for this and the questions. That was all him, man. So thank him for that. Thank you, guys.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you all again. Parag said all the things I was going to say, which is great. Thanks, dads, for showing up here today, kitchen crew. Fathers, there are gifts in the back as we kind of close the service out here. So if you're a father, you know of a father, you would like a gift, there's a book. And more importantly, chicharrones back there. So make sure to grab one of those. Let's go ahead and close in prayer this morning as we part this Sunday. So Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for all the father figures in our lives, Lord, the people who we call biological fathers or spiritual fathers, Lord, and the people that we encounter throughout our daily lives. As we influence others, others influence us, Lord. So, and thank you for the hearts of the folks here this morning, Lord, on the panel, Lord. And Lord, as we leave today, Lord, that we would be influencers of those around us. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. The kitchen crew, as you all leave, would appreciate if you could stick around maybe a little bit and help clean up and get the